The UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, is expressing deep concern about the negative impact of Wednesday's ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court on people seeking asylum in the United States. The UN warned on Friday that the ruling, which allows President Donald Trump's administration to implement significant asylum restrictions, could have dire implications on asylum seekers fleeing war and persecution. The Supreme Court's decision effectively reinstated a Trump administration rule that prevents migrants from applying for asylum if they pass through another country other than their own before arriving in the U.S. That means that asylum seekers from any country but Mexico will now be ineligible for asylum if they show up at the southern border. Before we debate this issue at tonight's show, let's watch a background report.
U.S. President Donald Trump's controversial crackdown on immigration got a boost when the Supreme Court said he could enact severe restrictions on asylum seekers. The order would block refugees from countries other than Mexico and Canada from applying for asylum at U.S. borders. The decision prompted a critical response from the United Nations.
And we regret the impact that the implementation will have on asylum seekers. We reiterate that any person fleeing violence or persecution must be able to access full and effective asylum procedures and international protection.
The International Organization for Migration says tens of thousands of asylum seekers are gathered on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Just over 36,500 are believed to be in the border area and they remain in Mexico, but of course we don't know how many of those are formal asylum seekers.
The ruling, which has temporary effect while challenging play out in lower courts, shuts out large numbers of people fleeing violence and poverty in Central America. They will now have to apply for asylum in Mexico rather than head directly to the United States. Trump's opponents, as well as dissenting Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, say the change upends decades of tradition in which the U.S., itself founded by waves of often poor immigrants, has welcomed refugees. Despite coming from an immigrant family background, Trump is famous for his anti-immigrant sentiments. According to a poll by the Associated Press, NORC Center for Public Affairs Research in February 2018, most Americans, 57% of them, believe President Trump is a racist. Trump has taken tough policies aimed at preventing migrants from coming to the U.S., claiming they're entering the country illegally, with most of them being criminals. Many of the applicants, however, had valid U.S. visa. The U.S. president has also pursued his notorious dream of building a wall on the southern borders with Mexico. He had pledged to force Mexico to pay for the wall, but Mexico refused to pay and Congress rejected Trump's request for a $5.7 billion fund to erect the wall. The president then forced the Pentagon to free up $3.6 billion to fund the project. Trump has made anti-immigration policy a key part of his first-term agenda after campaigning on the issue ahead of the 2016 election. Now, with the next presidential election looming, he is seeking to increase the toxic tide of nationalism and up the ante in order to win some political gains at home.
Joining us on tonight's debate, we have conservative consultant Noel Fritsch joining us from Raleigh, also a political analyst. Scott Ricard is joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Fritsch. Sir, the U.S. Supreme Court granted a request by President Donald Trump's administration to fully enforce a new rule that would block asylum applications by immigrants at the U.S.-Mexico border. The U.N. Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, as we know, has expressed regret over the U.S. ruling. What impact will its implementation have on asylum seekers?
Well, it's interesting that we have all of these calls to erode national sovereignty of the United States of America coming ahead of the election year and coming on the heels of, you know, all of the media, the Western media, trying to call President Trump, you know, a racist, as you mentioned in your lead-in there. There's a couple things here. That's not how the refugee and asylum law works. These refugees are almost all of them coming from Guatemala, El Salvador, and the way that the law works is they're supposed to be able to seek refuge in the first safe country where they reach, and that would be Mexico, which is where they are right now. And so I don't see why they can't just go ahead and seek asylum right there. And it's interesting, too, you know, we have a flood, an invasion of people seeking to come to the United States who don't agree with the way that our country works. It would be like, for example, Syrians invading Iran or maybe Israel, if they're very persecuted, coming into the country of Iran to take over and to tell you guys how to work and run your country. You know, I don't think you guys want to see it looking like Tel Aviv looks. It's a kind of a different place over there in Tel Aviv.
Let's bring in Mr. Ricard. Scott Ricard, would you like to respond to what our guest, Mr. Fritsch, had to say right now?
Well, first of all, you know, this is not a media thing. Unfortunately, the media in the United States is diametrically opposed, and they're very formidable opponents. The Western media is dominated by a left and right paradigm that is absolutely destroying any form of democracy or republic that we could ever imagine. This is a formidable war on both sides. The Sinclair Broadcasting Group, alongside the Clear Channel networks of radios, dominate the radio and the media organizations, whereby the television medias and many of the newspaper media is dominated by, unfortunately, the left. That you really have a huge misunderstanding in these broad statements that many Americans repeat because they hear them over and over on their respective networks. At the same time, when it comes to immigration, certainly it's not the tsunami of trouble that we're talking about. You know, we're talking about tens of thousands of individuals approaching a country of 350 million people. So this is not going to have a major effect on any kind of statistics in the country. In fact, it's a very small portion of a country, matter of fact, that was actually stolen from many Hispanics and many indigenous people. So the fact that you have a dominating 67% culture of white Europeans that actually run the country, absolutely they can make and dictate this kind of authority. Then at the same time as well, you're looking at a society in south of the border in Mexico and certainly in Central America that has seen tremendous amount of aggression from North America, specifically the United States, and these kinds of corrupt nature in which we've created these banana republics. I challenge the other debater to do some research on individuals like William Walker in Nicaragua, who took over the country in the 1850s. And certainly since then, for the 150 years, the Americans have dominated the Central American political infrastructure, so much so that we've actually employed many of the individuals from there and also South America in some horrific wars throughout the region. So this is the real result of true American history, that unfortunately we swim in a sea of very ill-informed Americans on both the left and the right of this country.
Noel Fritsch, I'd like you to respond to that also, if you may. This ruling does reverse a long-standing asylum policies that allowed people to seek asylum no matter how they got to the United States. Why is this happening now?
Well, I appreciate the regurgitation of the Howard Zinn history book there. I guess the left in America would
it's
just like
Howard
to
Zinn.
Roll back and relitigate all of
That's
history
Scott
there. No, you're parroting Howard Zinn's history, in case you haven't, you're not familiar with him.
But moving forward,
to the first comments about media, to the first comments about the media there, about how I guess Sinclair or Clear Channel or something like that runs the media in the United States, that's pretty laughable.
You totally missed
basically
the subject.
You have the Chamber of Commerce, a bunch of merchants. Excuse me, sir, I gave you your time to speak. I'll take mine, thanks. You have the Chamber of Commerce, which ultimately
runs
just about
speak.
All of the media, including, and this is how leftists work. They do not allow others to have their opportunity to speak. So the Chamber of Commerce, Big Pharma, the military-industrial complex, which makes its all of its bones on war and missiles and blowing things up, and taking countries over, as this guest has so kind of rightly pointed to. War is a bad thing. I think we all agree with that. At the same time, we all deserve the right to be able to protect ourselves, right? And that's what this comes down to. The United States deserves the right to be able to protect its national sovereignty. The United Nations, since its inception, before it was called the UN, it was called the League of Nations, the whole goal of it has been to erode United States sovereignty. And this is just one more example of that. These nanny staters, these nagging, annoying, nitpicky people saying, oh, you can't say this, just like he's saying right now. You can't do that, just like he's saying right now. You don't deserve the right to protect yourself. We're having a gun debate in the United States right now. You don't deserve the right to be able to protect your family, your property, your person against lethal threats, which we have coming into our borders right now across the southern border. This is what we're talking about here. And the United Nations and the left, almost writ large, almost all of the media in the United States, it's a joke that he's saying that there's like a strong conservative right wing bent in the United States. Almost all of the media, 97% of whom vote for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, are pushing against the American right to be able to defend yourself with a firearm, to be able to defend your national border. This is monolithic. This is not even up for debate. And these nanny staters, these nitpicky naggers, everybody knows somebody like this. You have somebody in your life who says, oh, do this, don't do that. They're annoying. They're constantly nagging and bothering you, telling you how to do things with your life. And all you want to do is protect your family. That's what the United States deserves the right to do. That's what sovereignty is.
Scott Ricard, you're shaking your head there. Please weigh in on the discussion now.
So I had to endure his insanity, his third grade history lesson in the sandbox. You know, it's ridiculous that this guy even believes that he has any idea about what's going on. I never voted for anyone in the Democratic Party in my entire life. And in fact, I'll be honest with you, I was happy to see Hillary Clinton get her ass whipped in the last election. Unfortunately, it was done with a right-wing, Likud-backed, very AIPAC-driven American political infrastructure, which this guy has drinking the Kool-Aid of the Zionist infrastructure that has brainwashed not only him and his family. And as far as they're protecting my country, I actually served my country. I was an Arabic and a Korean linguist. I collected intelligence against many different countries around the world. I know way too much comparatively to a very novice individual like this individual. At the same time, I've shot weapons since I was a child. I was a member of the NRA my entire life. I have, I'm an expert marksman, and I'd be happy to demonstrate my skills of not only protecting my family, but protecting my country. There's nobody that I know that knows more about this than I do. So I would challenge this individual to speak a little more intelligently, because he absolutely misunderstands the actual points that I made. The fact that the Sinclair Group is out of his control, and that he has no idea what is going on there, and Clear Channel, that is not a surprise to me. Most people are very uneducated in this country, and it's a great demonstration of the uneducated nature by listening to this individual speak.
Noel Fritsch, Quinnipiac University poll in July 2019 found that a majority of American voters believe that President Donald Trump is racist. What's your reaction to the finding?
Yeah, that proves my point that the leftist media very much owns the entire narrative. The leftist media, and I would actually include Fox News in that number. Fox News takes their ad dollars from the same chamber merchants that MSNBC and CNN and NBC all take their ad dollars from. And so their interest is war. Their interest, really, you know what this is all about, is labor costs. This is about driving labor costs down, 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 so the oligarchs, folks like the Murdochs, folks like the Koch brothers, okay, folks who run industry, the captains of industry, the merchants who are sending all of those United States jobs across the Pacific to Asia, can make more money. This is about globalism. This is a globalist push, okay, led by the captains of industry at the highest level, the financiers of wars, okay, the financiers of the entire supply chain in our entire economy, to drive costs down. Okay, in the United States, we should be all, every country, frankly, every country on the planet should be about one thing. That is driving the value of the citizenship in your country, Iran, Israel, the United States, Guatemala, Mexico, El Salvador, the value of citizenship in all of those countries, every single one, should be very high. These folks deserve the right to be able to live in their country and to lead lives and have businesses and families that add value to their communities and their families. And so here we have a situation where it's disposable. The globalists are telling, hey, all these refugees, just throw away your country. Your country doesn't matter. Just go somewhere else. Well, the polls also show, Quinnipiac, that these folks don't agree with the way that we do things here in our country. Okay? They want more services. They want more handouts. They do not agree with the United States Constitution. I think we're doing these folks a disservice we're hurting these countries by making Mexico a client state, El Salvador a client state of the United States, by just taking all of the problems that they have, social problems, societal problems, off of their hands, bringing them to the United States, letting them make money here and just send money back there. Though we are enabling those corrupt, oftentimes, regimes, and I think the gentleman, Mr. Ricard, was right to point that out. Those are corrupt regimes that they need to bear the brunt of their corruption at home, inside of their borders.
Scott Ricard, you don't seem to agree much on the topic with our guest, Noel Fritsch. However, according to the International Organization for Migration, tens of thousands of migrants and would-be asylum seekers are gathered on the U.S.-Mexico border. There are real concerns now that Mexico could turn into a quote-unquote permanent limbo state. What's next for the migrants as they seem to be running out of options now?
Well, obviously, what's next if they can't come into this country or any other country is not willing to take them? Obviously, Mexico has to deal with this problem, and it is a problem that has not only occurred in Mexico, it's occurred elsewhere around the world. And let's really be clear about this. A lot of the reasons that this has happened around the world is not just because of militaristic activity, not just from the United States. The United States is not the only one fomenting war in countries around the world. But these refugees that exist around the world are seeking a safety. They're seeking safety from problems in their country, from economic terrorism. You talk about the kinds of blockades and the types of economic they call them sanctions now. These sanctions have existed against North Korea, against Cuba, against Iran. This is economic terrorism. They did the same thing to Iraq. These are countries in the West that have absolutely tilted the economies in their favor. Even from the BRICS-aligned countries, the economy and the per capita income in the West and the allied NATO countries, it is almost 100% more than the countries that are opposing the NATO countries, because of the fact that in a 250-year-old banking system that was created by the British Empire and their allies in the European and the Scandinavian environments, this banking infrastructure is the one that drives the world economies. And the Americans, when they have a trillion-dollar note that comes due for their national, their GNP, their GNP is easily covered without any type of suffering in the United States, which is incredibly unfair comparatively, even in NATO-aligned countries such as Greece, Portugal, Ireland, because they do not have a tremendous military and they do not have the ability to write blank checks or get free money. So this is a completely unfair playing field that, describing it in the nature of if they just had the social welfare or the social ability to have a family infrastructure and support their families and create their own lives in their own country, they don't have the luxury of having a government and a military that is wildly funded. And then, by the way, there is also a tremendous amount of income in many of the districts that I've lived in around the country, where the income in those districts is incredibly controlled by the aerospace defense industry that pours money into those districts, and the homes and the economies there are booming. They're booming, and they've been booming for quite some time because of the fact that the aerospace defense industry is incredibly tied to the American lifestyle.
Mr. Fritsch, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, it sounds like we actually agree a little bit on the banking element here and on the pernicious nature of basically the way that the Chamber of Commerce runs in a very oligarchic, central planning, central controlling type of manner our economy. It's a very much a planned economy. We like to talk about the United States like it's, you know, totally capitalistic. That's not exactly true. If you look at a lot of the industries that do the most business, entry to those industries is very difficult. Pick one. And it sounds like Mr. Ricard agrees there. Look, when it comes to the folks on the border and how that affects the folks on the border, certainly getting some of the banking issues fixed would be great, which is, I was an early supporter of Rand Paul for president, and until it became very obvious to me in 2015 that President Trump really just had what it took to get it done. But I absolutely support auditing the Federal Reserve. We have 100 years of totally ridiculous banking in the United States and globally with these central banks in other countries in Europe that have fed this kind of a bogus economy. We have this veneer in the United States that it's like the epitome of what it means to be first world or the developed world. A lot of that is just really paper thin veneer. And as Mr. Ricard kind of rightly pointed to, paid for and floated by a bunch of debt that's just added on with a bunch of zeros, thanks to Woodrow Wilson, to give another little bit of a history lesson, about 106 years ago in 1913. With the inception of the Federal Reserve. So you've seen that fight play out with the president, by the way, too. This president understands how these large systems work. He understands how to manage large organizations that have many, many employees, many moving parts, and he gets it, okay? He understands that the UN All right. is not on his side and on the side of the American people. Right, and General, so that's why he's probably cruising to reelect in 2020.
Okay, we're fresh out of time. Allow me to thank my guest, conservative consultant Noel Fritsch, joining us from Raleigh, North Carolina. Also, thanks to a political analyst, Scott Ricard, joining us from St. Petersburg, Florida. Also, a special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us on tonight's debate. It's bye for now, everybody.